Yeah, today we are going to talk about faithfulness in beyond the here and now. And as Ruth said, even I myself, I was thinking about how to speak about this topic, especially because in the beginning of the year, we had a sermon on faith. And I remember that I spoke with Katie about it on how to approach the topic, what exactly people need to hear or God wants people to hear this morning. But the title of the sermon is Faithful Beyond the Here and Now. It just gives us an insight about faithfulness. I think it has been much said about the faithfulness of God in the service, and that was my expectation. That's why in the sermon I will be talking about our faithfulness to God, so that we have the both sides. In my last sermon, we talk about what faith is. Why do we need faith, and what it means to live by faith? I must admit that as I was preparing, I was really encouraged this morning again by what Christine said, that sometimes when you think like, I don't have anything to offer, when you think like you are weak in the position where you want to do something, in times like that are times where God have more room to be used by you. When you are convinced that I know or you know it, you might be just telling people what you are convinced of. And sometimes it's difficult. You just have to let God lead us. And because the passage is very long, I'm not going to read the whole passage. I'm going to be mentioning the passages during the sermon. So as I said, we had a sermon on faith in the beginning of the year. And on the 3rd of January, we spoke about what faith is, what is defined, how the Bible says faith is and what it consists of. And today I'm going to speak about the faithfulness of us as God's followers. And I will focus on the heroes of faith, which we find in the book of Hebrews. I'm going to say something about what these people have done that can be still an encouragement for us today. Before we start, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to meet, even online, Lord, to come together as brothers and sisters to worship you. Lord, we came not to hear out of human's voice, but to be encouraged by you. And I pray for your people who came this morning, not because of me, but they came here expecting to hear something from you, to be encouraged by you, or maybe to be corrected by you. And Father, I pray that you will use me beyond my human understanding. Let the voice of my flesh be silenced and speak to your people through your spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. So saying something about the heroes of faith is very difficult. I find it a very difficult task to say something again about the heroes of faith for many reasons. One of the reasons is that these stories are most known, not only by believers, but also even unbelievers know who Noah was, who Moses is, or who Abraham was. And it makes things very difficult to say something new about them again. And sometimes when we read the Bible, we are maybe distracted by the fact that we know a story and think like, what then can be new again in this passage for us? Not only is it difficult to preach about the heroes of faith, there are also some dangers when we speak about heroes of faith. The first danger is that we might tend to worship them. I mean, this is not what we are intending. You know? They serve us as examples of people who lived with God and whose lives pleased God. You know, we are not intending to worship them. They were men and women of God. We will talk about the heroes of faith in terms of encouragement. What have these men and women of God done? How can we learn from their experiences with God? The other danger, or maybe mistake not to do, is maybe to try to reproduce what they did exactly without being guided by the Holy Spirit. You know, it might not produce the same results. There's a danger of saying like, well, Daniel did this, so I will also do that. I mean, they encourage us, but in some specific situations, we need to be guided by God to find out what His will for a special, a particular situation. As I was reading the passage, and whenever we read the Bible, we should be asking ourselves, why are these people listed here in Hebrews 11 called heroes of faith? You know, in this world, if we see what they have done, they would not have been so popular as they are in the Bible or in our Christian life. But the Bible calls them heroes because they were heroes in God's eyes, not in the eyes of people. And the list of heroes that we have in Hebrews 11 does not mean that only these people listed here are heroes of faith. Even in our times nowadays, we have believers that really serve God in such a way that they can serve us as an example, or that they can be an encouragement for us. An example is George Miller. I mean, when I heard his testimony in a men's breakfast, or his story told by Ansa, I still am encouraged by the kind of life he lived, by the type of believer he was. And in one sense, we could also call him a hero of faith. So to be quoted as an example of faith, not only should these people have had a kind of faith that goes beyond the normal average believer, but also they should have really acted and lived their faith. You know, faith has two sides. James describes us in James chapter 2. The one is to have this confidence in God, which is internal and most of the time invisible. And the second part is really to act based on our faith, you know, to put an act of faith, to act even though we have not seen something happening, but we live and act as if it had already happened. And this is what really characterizes these people listed here as heroes of faith. So faith has the one side is this confidence, and the other side is to act according to God's word. I like reading the Bible in different languages. I think it's a grace for me that God gave me this possibility to read the Bible in many languages. And as I was reading the passage where faith is defined in Hebrews, in my French Bible, the place where it is written, the conviction of things not seen, is translated in French as the manifestation of things not seen. It means that faith also consists of having our trust, our confidence in God. But once we have this confidence, once we are convinced that God will do that, that we act as if that had already happened, you know, and this is what we have here. So the heroes of faith acted out of faith. You know, they had confidence in God, and they also acted based on that. And now I'm going to mention some characteristics or some things in the life of these people that are listed here in Hebrews 11, but also of some other heroes of faith that are listed here that can be encouraging to us. The first thing which they have in common is that they were faithful, you know. They were faithful. It was their faithfulness consisted of acting based on what God said, even when it was still invisible. You know, we see it with Noah in verse 7. The Bible says that Noah acted based on events yet unseen. You know, it would have been weird for the people at that time to see someone building an ark where there is no rain. You know, and faith consists of sometimes being seen as a mad person, as a weird person by the world, because we do things based on the unseen, and the people are led by the flesh. And same thing with Abraham. He started moving, not knowing where he was going, you know. And just look at our lives, you know, whenever you are driving to a place with your car, and imagine your navi doesn't work, how we react, you know, can we continue moving, you know? And Abraham was like, he started moving. He didn't know where the journey will end. He didn't know where he will leave tomorrow, you know. But he started moving. And when I read that, I really think about my own life. I think about when I finished studying here and I was praying that God will lead me what to do. Should I stay here? Should I go back? And even though I prayed and God gave me signs, you know, I told God that if you want me to stay, do this. And he did that. even though God did that, sometimes later I started doubting again, you know. And this is not the kind of faith that the heroes of faith have, you know. They lived, they only had the word which was invisible, but because of their faith, they had that confidence that God will do that. And that made Abraham living in tents. You know, you remember the image, the pictures that Frank showed us sometimes in the sermon, that tents that were meant to be a temporary place of living became something for a long time. And Abraham, not knowing where to go, he only knew one thing, that God was leading him. So these heroes of faith were faithful. Their faith wasn't only based on what God had done, but on God's word. The second thing that these people had in common, or maybe some of them, was that they offered God the best of them. You know, they did not just offer God out of the exceeding part of their time, of their wealth, or of everything they had, but they really offered God something that cost them. They really sacrificed themselves for God. So a sacrifice is more than just an offering, you know. You can offer something you don't need anymore that won't cost you anything. But the heroes of faith encourage us in that sense that they really offered God for some their lives, children, or their wealth in such a sacrificial way that we ask ourselves how they could do that. You know, Abraham offered Isaac and not Ishmael. Why not Ishmael? Because Ishmael was the one which was not the promised son. You know, he could have said that, God, you want my son, take Ishmael. He said, no, I'm going to give God that which is the most important for me. And this is the same with us, you know. What do we offer God? Which part of our body or which part of our life do we bring before God? Or what are the types of sacrifices we give or do in church or to God? Do we only give out of the exceeding part? Or do we also have such a faith that we are able to give God something that costs us, you know? Offerings do not work automatically, you know. We see that with Abel and Cain, you know. Both offered sacrifices, and some people might be misled by interpreting in such a way that, well, the blood sacrifice was more important than the fruits of the earth, you know, which might maybe lead to put people that offer blood sacrifice over maybe people that are in agriculture, which is wrong. And I think sacrifices are not accepted automatically. They should be given with a contrite heart. They should be given out of faith. And even though at the moment of the sacrifice, we could not see that Cain's heart was bad, we will notice it later, that the problem was not his sacrifice, but the problem was his heart. So the heroes of faith offered God something which cost them something, you know. Another hero of faith, which is not mentioned here, is the widow in Mark chapter 12. We read in Mark chapter 12, verses 41 to 44, that Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into this treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live. And Abraham was able to give the only son he had, you know. And this is the kind of faith that we should have if we are confident in God, that he can do everything, that he is the provider. Then we will not be afraid to love or maybe to to obey him, to be faithful in such a sacrificial way that we will not be afraid. Another thing is that these people's life pleased God. You know, their lives pleased God. I don't know what you need to please people, but the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. You might not go to church. You might not be the pastor. You might not be preaching in church. You might not be active in church. But you can still please God if you put total confidence in him for your whole life. So without faith, it is impossible to please God. And these people, they pleased God because they had total confidence in him. How do we know that God or we please God? You know, we have one example in the Bible of God giving a testimony about someone, of God speaking like, this is a kind of servant I want. In Job chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, we read that God tells Satan how Job's life pleases him. Job chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. On another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself before him. And the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered to the Lord, from roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason. And whenever I read this passage, and whenever each of us reads this passage, we should be asking ourselves not what the people in church think about me, what the pastor says about me, what my neighbors think of me, but we should be asking ourselves if God has to give a testimony concerning us on our personal life, how would it look like? What will God say about you? Not what you will say about yourself, and not what people will say about yourself, but what will God say about you? And God could give a good testimony of Job because his life pleased God. And the lives of the heroes of faith pleased God because they put their faith in God. Another point in the lives of the heroes of faith is that they were led by God and not by men. Sometimes we try to be our own leaders, don't we? We try to do things according to our own wisdom. We try to do things how we feel or according to the flesh, even though the Bible says we should not live or work by sight, but by faith. If we want to please God or to live a life that will matter, a life that will encourage other believers in the coming generations, just as the life of the heroes of faith that lived maybe more than 2,000 years ago are encouraging us today. So you need to be led by God. We need to live a kind of life that pleases God. Another point in the lives of some of these heroes is that they died in faith. And this reminds us of the title of the sermon, Faithfulness Beyond the Here and Now. And most of the time we think like God is only faithful when we are able to see with our own eyes his promises that come to pass. Or most of the time when we pray, we want the answers to come quickly. Now, there are some answers to prayers which might not come right now. You know, there are some wishes or prayers which we might not see happen. I have an uncle in the army. He was serving in the army in Cameroon in the 1970s. And one day he was selected to come to Germany, to Bonn, just to have a training there again. But somehow in the end, his name was removed. He couldn't come to Bonn anymore. And he spent all of his life being frustrated by that. But one time he told me that one day I will go to Bonn. If not I, one of my sons will go there. And when he heard that I was coming to Germany, he said, like, his dream, his prayer is answered, you know. He himself did not come, but he said that he's happy that his son came here. And faith consists not only of praying and telling God to answer our prayer instantly, but some of the prayers might not be answered, or some of the promises of God might not be fulfilled during our lifetime. You know, we see that with Abraham. Abraham was faithful to God unto death. You know, he and Sarah were called to a promised land, but they merely embraced the promise by living as nomads. They lived nomadically in a land which did not belong to them. The Bible says that they were strangers and exiles on earth, even though God promised a land to them. They were also promised uncountable offspring. But during their lifetime, the only son they saw was Isaac. But Abraham and Sarah had that confidence in God that one day God's word will come to pass. And it came to pass, maybe not during their lifetime, but God kept his promise. So faithfulness in God doesn't only consist of getting our prayers or having our prayers answered right now, but also having faith that if God says something, that he will also do it. And now coming towards the conclusion, we probably know what men think of us. We know what our neighbors think of us. We know what we think of ourselves. But this is not what matters. This is not what matters on the day of judgment. This is not what matters on the day of salvation. The heroes of faith showed us that even though the testimonies of men about them were not good sometimes, because the testimonies of people might not be good about you just because you serve God, you know, just because you preach the good news to people, people might have a very bad testimony about you. But this is not what matters. This is not what should be the most important judgment that matters for you and for me. And as we read in Job, God was telling Satan that, have you seen my servant Job? And I wonder if you ask yourself this question, because every day when I live, or when we should live our life, we should think about, what will God think about me? Which kind of life am I living? Can my life be taken as a living Bible? Because to be salt and light, we don't just need to preach the good news. You know, one of the visions of our church is not only to be salt and light as every believer should be. We want to be salt and light in Bielefeld. We want to be encouraging to people in Bielefeld. What do we need to do that? We need to have the kind of faith that goes beyond every average believer. And the light is there to show people the way. There are people that might never enter a church, but us also, as children of God, we can serve as good examples. We can serve our people who guide them to God, just as the heroes of faith did. So my question to you after this sermon is, what matters for you? What matters for you? Or maybe when you start the week, you start thinking about or writing down what you think that God will say about you, both positive and negative. And pray God that he will open your eyes to see your weaknesses also, and then to bring them before him. And as believers, we are called to be ambassadors of Christ, and we can be ambassadors only if we imitate Christ and if we impact in people's lives. And to impact in people's life, we need not only an average faith, but we need to take an act of faith, not only during the coming week, but during our whole life. So what act of faith will this sermon need you to take? Maybe you're going to start praying for something you had forgotten, something that you thought that would never happen again. Or maybe God has promised something to you because you haven't seen it yet. You are doubting. Maybe you need to start acting based on God's promise. Or maybe you need to start in the coming week, maybe writing down what are the promises of God in the Bible which have already happened in your life, and what are the promises which have not yet happened and for which you will pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. You are a faithful God. You have been faithful yesterday, you are faithful today, and you will be faithful tomorrow. Lord, we pray that even when we are unfaithful, you remain the same. Thank you for the encouragement brought by the life of the heroes of faith. And we also want to live like you, Lord Jesus. We want to be an encouragement to others. We want to be heroes of faith for the future generation. And we pray that you build us, Lord, that you help us to have this kind of faith in you that goes beyond the here and now. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen.